À l'heure du repas, entre 12 et 13 heures,
At
un homme
lunchtime,
en train de
between 12
s'échapper
and
d'une
1
loge
p.m.,
sociale a
we,
été vu
the
par
women
un
and
couple de
children, were
femmes et
waiting
son
to get
conjoint
our
de
food.
femmes s'apprêtant
From
à
our
aller
camp,
chercher leur
the women's
nourriture.
camp, we
Il
saw
est
a
en train
man
de s'échapper de
escaping
son
from the other
bureau
camp.
en escaladant la ceinture
He
de
was
barbe wallée
trying
de
to
son
escape
bureau
from his
et,
camp by
surpris
climbing
en
the
entrant
barbed
une
wire
foule, il est
belt.
mis à terre
And
et
surprised
entendu
by
une
two
batte par ce
policemen,
dernier
he was
jusqu'à ce
knocked
qu'il
down,
perde
held
connaissance.
down, and
Ils l'ont
beaten by
emporté
them
inconscient
until he
en le
lost
tirant sur le
consciousness.
sol, destination
They took him
inconnue.
away
Les femmes,
unconscious,
les
dragging him on
parents et
the
les
ground,
enfants ont réagi
no
pour
idea
protéger
where.
l'homme à terre.
The
En un rien
women,
de temps,
accompanied by the
ils se mirent à
children,
bousculer la
reacted to
barrière entre
protect the
deux
man on the
combattants.
ground.
En passant
In no
au-dessus,
time,
cela s'est fait
everyone
très
was pushing
rapidement
through the
et
barbed wire
l'appel a
fence
été
of the
ouvert.
women's camp,
Les femmes et
passing
les enfants
over it.
se sont dirigées vers les
It gave away
gendarmes
very
avec
quickly,
l'intention de
and
se
the
venger
gates
de
were
cet
soon
acte
open.
criminel.
The women and children went towards the policemen with the intention of taking revenge for this criminal act. This testimony dates all the way back to the 23rd of March, 1941. It's from a Spanish teenager. Her name was Benita Moreno. She was part of the so-called Revolte des Femmes, a women's revolt that took place in an internment camp in Argelès-sur-Mer. That's a seaside village in the south of France. We don't know who the man trying to escape was, but we think he was most probably Ukrainian, an old member of the famous International Brigades. This probably still leaves you with a lot of questions unanswered. What camp is Benita talking about? And who are all those women and children? Why is the man trying to escape? And perhaps more fundamentally, what was a Spanish teenager and a Ukrainian man doing in the south of France in the midst of the Second World War? Let's rewind. Let's rewind to a time when Europe is not yet at war, Benita's still home in Madrid, and our anonymous prisoner is home in Ukraine. His eyes, however, like many, many others, are fixed on Spain. It's the year 1939, and the faction of the Spanish army, led by the general Francisco Franco, have revolted against the government of Republican Spain. This coup marked the beginning of a full-scale, brutal civil war between the Republican government and the so-called nationalists, who were backed by fascist Italy and Nazi Germany. During the war, the Republican ranks, they were joined by at least 32,000 foreign volunteers. You've probably heard of them. They were known as the International Brigades. Even though they only made up a small proportion of the Republican army, they've become symbols of anti-fascism and international solidarity. The famous author George Orwell was one of such volunteers, and so was our nameless Ukrainian prisoner.
With the advent of Franco and the rising of the generals, we knew that this was it. And of course, it wasn't only people like me, it was all across Europe, all across the world. People knew, and when I say people, I mean the ordinary person knew this was all wrong.
We just heard a fragment of an interview with James Brown, a rifleman from London who volunteered with the International Brigades. Many citizens like James, seeing how their governments were doing nothing to help those suffering in Spain, decided to take matters into their own hands. It was by their own initiative that they made the long journey to Spain, with no guarantee of whether they would make it back to their homes afterwards. But going back to the Civil War, the Republican defeat was impending. September 1938 would be the last month of action for volunteers of the International Brigades. Many, as is the case of James Brown and most other British volunteers, made their way back home. Many others, however, couldn't simply return home. By the year 1939, openly anti-fascist Italians and Germans, for example, thought they could hardly return to their home countries. To do so would have been incredibly dangerous. And where were these people meant to go? Well, these brigadiers were forced to make the journey into exile when Franco declared victory. However, they were certainly not alone. In early 1939, in the middle of winter, around 500,000 Spanish refugees made the journey into France, without knowing when and if they were to return, in an effort to escape from the dictatorship. They looked to France, seeking aid and assistance from a country that, in the eyes of the exiles, represented freedom and democracy. Unfortunately, an open-armed welcome for the refugees never materialised. In the 1930s, France was in the midst of economic problems, with a declining franc and growing public debt. So a humanitarian approach to the refugees and exiles was soon tainted by financial concerns. At that time, France was governed by the Popular Front, an alliance of French left-wing movements. And even though, ideologically, there was quite a lot of affinity with the Spanish Republican government, the French were keen to repatriate refugees, and they didn't really want the refugees to permanently settle in France. A decree signed in 1938 by Albert Sarraute, the Minister of Home Affairs, who was dealing with the arrival of the Republican exiles, well, he created a legal framework that would allow him to intern so-called undesirable foreign people into special camps. No surprise that the Spanish exiles were designated immediately as undesirable foreigners. So, in the name of national security, the French government was legitimised in interning the Spanish exiles into internment camps. So the first part of the puzzle was beginning to unravel. We now know how and why the camps that Benitez is talking about were created. But what kind of camps were they exactly? Well, one of the biggest and most important camps was located in Argelès-sur-Mer, which is actually where the revolt would take place 2 years later. I visited Argelès in the middle of July. It was hard to imagine what it would have been like during the cold winter of 1939 when the exiles arrived in France. Nowadays, in the summer, Argelès is a tourist hotspot, with the area where the camp would have been now occupied by hotels and apartment blocks, ice cream shops and restaurants blaring loud French pop. However, refugees arrived at a very, very different Argelès in 1939. It was a brutally cold winter when the exiles arrived in the camp. And initially, calling it a camp was a bit of a stretch. There was little more than some barracks for the wounded and some barbed wire fencing the camp off. There wasn't any shelter from the wind and rain, so refugees, well, they had to dig holes in the sand for protection against the weather. There was no clean water or sanitary arrangements, and dysentery was widespread. Now, many refugees were able to leave the camps after a few months. Some returned to Spain, not always willingly, and some moved on to other destinations, such as Mexico. Employment was another way out of the camps. However, when the Second World War broke out in September, this had a really big impact on the camps. It meant that other groups of people, aside from Spanish exiles, began to be targeted by the government. So by the end of 1939, the camp of Argelès had a mix of different communities. Spanish refugees, International Brigade members, Jews, anti-fascist Germans and Italians, and Roma people. Moving on to 1940, Europe was fully immersed in the Second World War, and France was invaded by Nazi Germany. The armistice signed in June 1940, it divided France into two. One, under Germany military occupation, while the other, known as Vichy France, was headed by General Philippe Pétain. It collaborated directly with Nazi Germany. Now, the vast majority of camps created for Spanish refugees, including Argelès, were located in Vichy France. Remember I explained that many Spanish refugees began to leave these camps by the end of 1939? Well, the Vichy government began to send Spanish refugees and ex-International Brigade members back to these camps in 1940 and 1941. Those taken back to the camps were mainly those that were seen to be particularly dangerous, or those who were not contributing to the war effort or to the French national economy. Who were seen to be particularly dangerous or radical? Well, ex-International Brigade members, they were openly anti-fascist. And who was usually seen to not contribute to the war effort or to the economy? Women and children. Women like Benita, who we heard from at the very beginning. So this is how many women and children were forced to return to the camps like Argelès in 1941, the year when the revolt took place. So Benita's story is now making a lot more sense. We know why she was in a camp, and we know what the camp was like, and we also know that our anonymous Ukrainian prisoner was an ex-international brigadist. What we still don't know is exactly what triggered the revolt on that 23rd of March. So in 1941, there were many people interned in camps who were deemed dangerous extremists. Well, what was the French government going to do with all of these people? Well, it set up an operation that would transfer many of these men, including the ex-national brigadists, to North Africa, specifically to Algeria. Disciplinary camps were set up there, and internees were made to work on building a Trans-Saharan railway. These camps were very isolated, with heavy military presence in a harsh climate, with very hot summers and very cold winters. Some compared being sent to this camp with a death sentence. I found a statement written by the Monmouthshire Federation of Trades and Labour Councils to the Trade Union Congress, a federation of trade unions in Wales and England. It reads, that it is with serious alarm and indignation that we learn of the steps now being taken by the Vichy government to transport thousands of international brigadiers and other refugees now in occupied France to North Africa, to encampments in the Sahara Desert. It is our opinion that this will mean certain death for large numbers of these brave fighters for freedom, tried and trusted anti-fascists. However, transnational solidarity and support did not help stop the transfers from being organised. On the 22nd of March of 1941, a convoy was set up that was going to take 209 ex-brigadists from Argelès to Algeria. Things didn't go to plan at all. First of all, the ex-brigadists, they refused to leave their barracks at roll call. Then, the camp prefects had to call for military reinforcements. The next day is when the women's revolt took place. Upon learning of the fate of the international brigadists, 500 women in the adjoining camps ran towards the barracks. Then, the insurrection began. Francesco Foddi, a former Italian brigadist, explained how the women teared up planks from old barracks in order to arm themselves, and they began to throw sand at the guards. For the brigadists who were meant to be leaving for Algeria, well, this gave them the opportunity to hide and mix with other internees. It was too late to continue with boarding. So those 500 women were able to stop the internees from leaving France. Instead, in the following days and weeks, many of these men were transferred to a nearby camp. The revolt, it was a spectacular demonstration of the solidarity existing between international brigadists and the Spanish women. And it's actually thought to be the largest uprising that took place in the camps. You may be wondering why it was that women were the instigators of the largest uprising in the camps. But maybe the better question is, why not? These women had lived through a progressive Spanish Republic where their voices had begun to be heard, only to see this progress crushed by a violent civil war. And then you need to add the brutal experience of exile and of the camps, and learning of the death sentence that awaited those who had helped them during the war. Well, why wouldn't they revolt? I should say that this was a spontaneous rebellion and there was little planning involved. And there didn't really seem to be any other broader objective other than to help their fellow prisoners. These women were motivated by their solidarity with the international brigadists, a solidarity that withstood the sand and the barbed wire, the hunger and the thirst. Following the revolt, around 50 of the women who participated and who were considered responsible for it, they were taken to another camp. Some were handed over to the Spanish authorities and returned to a fascist Spain immersed in a dictatorship. I have no doubt they didn't return voluntarily. Some managed to leave the camp, which closed in 1942, and they began to reconstruct their lives in exile in France. Not much has been written about the women's revolt. Aside from some testimonies, a couple of news articles and some government correspondence, there really isn't much information. Historians have barely written about the revolt either. So why should we care? Well, the story of this woman's revolt in Argelès, it encompasses so much. It shows how violence doesn't finish with war. Refugees and exiles face continued violence, even in the peaceful societies that are supposedly meant to welcome them. The revolt also shows the importance of solidarity. In the midst of war and terror, ordinary women and men and children, they still had each other's backs. My name is Irene Garcia, and I have created this podcast episode through the EURSS. My home institution is the University of Warwick, and my department is History. I've completed this project with CY Sir G. Paris University. Thank you to my supervisor at Warwick, Professor Rosie Doyle, and also to my supervisor at Sir G. University, Professor Karula Aguiliadis-Kerrigan. Thank you also to the Erasmus Plus programme for providing funding. Thank you to the Departmental Archives of Haute-Garonne, to the staff at the Argelès-Camp Memorial Museum, and to the library staff at the University of Toulouse.